This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, a big vote in the city of Greeley last night, and it looks like, for now, it was a yes vote on that special election, which means they will remove the zoning ordinance 30 of Catalyst of the Cascadia project. Does that mean it's done? We'll get to it. Calvin Booth, eye-opening interview, former Nuggets general manager. Speaking of eye-opening, Sean Payton was at the NFL Combine. Had a lot to say about who's calling plays, about who screwed up the Bo Nix comments, and what he's looking for in the offseason. Busy show today. Short time to do it. The whole show starts right now. Sean Payton and Coach Prime were friends, man. I just saw this. Adam Schefter. Moments ago, Broncos are hiring Colorado defensive coordinator Robert Livingston as their defensive pass game coordinator, per source. Now, Livingston and Vance Joseph worked together on the Cincinnati Bengals staff, I don't know, around, was it 2014 or so? Livingston was a scout, and Vance was the defensive backs coach in 2014 and 2015. And then he went over to the Dolphins and had Vance Joseph had the DC job with Miami. And obviously that's where the Broncos hired him as head coach. Then he was back at Arizona, blah, blah. That is good news for the Broncos because I love Robert Livingston. Terrible news for the Colorado Buffaloes because it is February 25th. And their defense was one of their strengths. They didn't have a ton of them, but they definitely like their defensive side. And Robert Livingston. Now, this is an interesting move because he's kind of listed as, Livingston's labeled as like an up-and-comer. And I mean, you have to guess that Vance didn't get a head coaching job this year, but maybe next year, if their defense is as good as it was, or even close to as good as it was, then he's probably going to get a job at some point very soon. So it's short lived. Do you look at a Robert Livingston as the type of guy, not necessarily to take over for, you know, defensive coordinator job next year, but certainly one that can continue to move up the ranks? I mean, their defense was, when I say it was a strength of CU's, I mean, keep in mind, they kept like a Delaware team to 7. They gave up 36 to Houston. They gave up 20 to Wyoming. Some of those were turnovers. Gave up 24 to BYU, not bad. 35 to TCU, 17 to Iowa State. And then the bottom kind of fell out a little bit as we got further along into the season. But so Robert Livingston going to the Broncos, and that certainly leaves the Buffaloes in a tough spot to try to replace their defensive coordinator late February. Sean Payton was at the NFL Combine yesterday, and tons of media members were there. And I want to get to that in a moment. But Michael, before we do that, last night, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, courtesy of FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, CSU. the Colorado State Rams do it again. This was a tricky game. Fresno State, not amazing, but maybe pesky is the right term. Now, Fresno State beat CSU earlier in the season, but not this time around. It was close. Fresno State kind of had control, and suddenly the Rams took over and never lost that control. They outscored the Bulldogs 42-31, and the Rams continue to be pretty damn hot. Six in a row for Colorado State. Now with three games remaining, I got to imagine they're gonna beat San Jose State. That'll give them win number 19. And then you have New Mexico and Boise State. You might be able to get to 20 wins in the regular season. So congrats to the Rams. We're going to have Kevin Lytle join us at 12:35 today. Talk about the win and, you know, just how he's feeling about this. 11:35, excuse me, Michael. We'll have Kevin on at the bottom of the hour. Talk about the dub for Colorado State. The bad for me, the Mountain West Network. My gosh, it's bad sometimes. Watching the game. I'm midway through the second half. Commercial break. And it just flashes on there. Commercial break is going on. Okay. Look down at my phone for a minute. Okay, it's been like 3 minutes. All right, what's going on? It's been like 5 minutes. Why are we still on a commercial break? Refresh, nothing. Refresh. I look at the ESPN Gamecast. The game's still going. There's not some kind of weird delay or an injury or anything. So I shut the app down, restart it, and the game's back on. Nice. Oh, no, it's in the first half. It's 13-7 or whatever. It was stuck on the first half. That's done that to me a handful of times. So I didn't really get to watch it. I got to watch the first half and less than half of the second. Not the exciting part. So that was silly. The ugly, in my opinion, the ugly is the fact that the yes on 1A passed last night. Hey, Michael, you guys are all worried about taxes. Get ready, because you're going to be helping out. Because the city put up all those buildings, and they can't get them back. How are they going to get them back? Oh, look. Yeah. So good job. Good job, Greeley. Something that already passed. Something that was already moving forward. And then you throw out this Greeley can do better thing. Really? You don't want growth here? You don't want to have something awesome in this town that could really be something attractive? And when everyone we're talking to is saying, dude, your taxes, this isn't going to affect you. This is the city of Greeley doing this. They're putting the buildings up as collateral. Well, they already did that. So now you will be paying taxes. So you were worried about paying taxes. That's how else is the city of Greeley going to get money? How are they going to get money for these projects or for recovering from these projects? Now, does this kill the overall idea of bringing the Eagles to Greeley? Not necessarily. But Martin Lind has said on this show, and especially on Good Morning NoCo, that if this doesn't go through on February 24th, then they're probably going to move the project elsewhere. And you lost it to Johnstown, potentially.
And you pay a lot more taxes.
And you're going to be paying taxes now.
I was talking to Tanner when I got in, and Tanner said he was shocked that this passed. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm
shocked.
Not shocked that it was voted down.
I don't think people understand what the hell they're doing. I don't think you guys understand what the hell you're voting on.
Yeah, it's very complicated. The wording was atrocious for what they were supposed to vote. So a lot of people were confused, and I think the people who were the most passionate about this, vocally, were on the anti-Cascadia side.
Yeah, I don't... they were aggressive, and you had money that's outside of the town of Greeley invested into this Greeley can do better thing, which we know we heard that. We know that. I'm pretty sure we can. I don't know if we could prove it, but it sounds like there are outside investors that are not going to be going to work every day here in Greeley, not going to be putting money into your local economy here every day. Yeah, I'm a little miffed by it, Mike. I'm a little irritated by it because this is something that could have been really, really special for this area that's looking for more unique ways to, UNC could have used this. Their enrollment's down. You come here for an Eagles game. Your kids come here to play hockey, junior hockey, all that. They come here. It's like, whoa, there's a university here. I could come here. Yeah. Why do you think camps are also self-serving? What, UNC, when they do basketball camps, football camps, and volleyball camps, and wrestling camps, you get the kids on campus. This is a place I could go to college. That's one of the yeah, it's great to have camps, and it's good for your team and all this stuff, but you're showcasing your school. So this would have been great for UNC enrollment as well, but not going to happen. Would have been great to have an exciting minor league-ish hockey team here. That's a feeder directly to the Colorado Avalanche. Could have helped put Greeley on the map. A water park, okay, that's cool. But you don't want that. And I guess I'm stunned. No, you're not going to have something cool like this in the town of Greeley, and that really sucks. Yes, Michael.
No matter what you think about, you know, someone who has a lot of money, whether they should build their own thing or not, no matter what you think about growth or not, the problem with this whole thing was it was already in motion.
It was already done.
Everything was already in motion.
It was on a regular ballot, and they had already voted to pass it and to start working on the project. So they've been working on the project.
Yeah, so they're working on the project, suddenly stopping. It's not like you're suddenly stopping this, and it's like, okay, well, we saved the city a bunch of money. This was so complicated, and it was done. I mean, I still don't understand it quite as much as Tanner does, but Tanner seems to think it was better.
Well, let me give you the breakdown, because I do understand it. Whether you were for this or against this, it passed.
And so there were no taxes.
The city was going forward with this. The city of Greeley wanted this because they approached Martin Lind about this. They wanted this. So they said, we'll put buildings up for collateral and so we can start this project. And they did. And it was voted yes to keep going. Last night, it was voted yes to stop. Well, the city already put up the buildings as collateral. They don't
get them back.
They don't have the money to get the buildings back under their ownership. So where's that money going to come from?
Yeah, they either you know, don't fix any of the potholes, or they raise your taxes by... I mean, I don't know how much the taxes are going to go up, but you're going to...
Something's going to give you... All the things you were worried about when we first started talking about this a couple weeks ago...
Yeah.
Is actually, this is the thing you were worrying about.
Yeah.
They're either going to ignore a bunch of things that need to be done, or they're going to tax you.
I wasn't surprised that this was voted down. From what I was hearing, from all the emotion behind it... But I think people were just completely uninformed.
Great.
And I think the way the city council wrote it was probably, I don't know, it felt risky, but if it worked out for them, it would have been perfect. A lot of people were behind it. A lot of, not just big names, but big names with legitimacy were behind it. Now suddenly voting it down causes more problems.
Enjoy continuing to have nobody want to be here on the weekends. I went to college here. You know where we went? Fort Collins. There's nothing to do.
Fort Collins doesn't go to bed at 9 o'clock.
Where do young people go? Downtown Greeley, Brady. We used to work there, Mike. You remember walking to lunch? You remember walking downtown from our building to downtown? Sometimes you could say, felt a little sketchy.
Yeah.
Felt a little weird.
Sometimes there were more homeless people than there were actual customers.
Yeah.
Sometimes, not always.
And sometimes, you know, I know Tanner has a story where it was a threatening situation a few times in downtown Greeley. So, and I'm not saying Fort Collins doesn't have that. They do in certain areas, but they have plenty of other areas where you go hang out. This would have been a cool spot, man. This would have been a really cool thing for the city of Greeley.
And I've had my own, you know, on the air conversations about the building of arenas and questioning whether they do help economic development. But the point of the whole thing is it was already in motion.
See, I know you watched a video and stuff on this. It does help your economical development. Having more things, dude, it helps your university. It helps your Greeley Stampede. It helps your restaurants that are closing left and right around here. It helps all of those things because it's a big thing where you can also use to promote other things throughout the area. What other big things are in Greeley? The Greeley Stampede? Great. That's for 2 weeks. And then the University of Northern Colorado, who is struggling with enrollment. You're telling me that you get a bunch of kids that play here on weekends in youth hockey. I'm not even talking about the Eagles. They're playing here on the weekends, and they're, hey, we ate here last time. Let's go check out a place downtown. Let's go look at this place. Oh, you guys, you're getting up there. You know, you're starting to think about colleges. Let's buzz by the University of Northern Colorado and see if that's a place you potentially might want to go. How else are you getting a bunch of people here to come check out your school? Camps, this is another thing. I've talked to coaches, I won't give names, with the University of Northern Colorado, and they say the same thing. This would have been a great thing. We were definitely excited about it.
People need to get rid of the NIMBY, not in my backyard attitude.
Because this is a community that couldn't put up freaking lights for their football stadium.
Yeah. Well, the not in my backyard people not only killed this, but they also kill housing. Those people are the reason why you can't build more housing. They're the reason why things are more expensive. Sorry, guys. Growth happens. If you don't like it, you can move to another town.
Don't move to Eastern Colorado. There's plenty of small towns there.
If you don't like Windsor growing, go somewhere else.
I'm fed up here, man. I'm frustrated with it because I was really excited about this project, and I was excited that potentially Greeley was going to have something cool, but no, you guys, yeah, go ahead and do whatever.
Yeah, I'm not as mad because I kind of saw it coming, though.
What is this, Texter? Future home of your Colorado Eagles, Cascadia. What is this from the 303? What is that? Just a picture of what it, I don't know. It could have been cool, man, but enough people sat around and said they didn't want it. Enough people believed that if they didn't vote on this, then if they voted yes on it, oh, it would just give us more time to think about it. Well, whether it was a tactic or not, the owner of the Eagles, the developer, Martin Lind, said on these airwaves that if this doesn't go through on February 24th, I will look to go somewhere else.
Yeah, and the streets of Johnstown are flooded with drool right now because they are excited about that.
That's going to... If you're a Greeley resident, you just gave it up, man. Johnstown's growing rapidly. 22 minutes after the hour. All right, Mike. Coming up next, we'll be done with that. I'm moving on. Whatever. Until something else pops up, if there's more news on this. But Eastside Chris says, yeah, very disappointed with the 1A vote. Yeah, I am too. I don't even live here. I live in Fort Collins. But I grew up around here from my college days to early 20s.
I will say I'm also disappointed with the vote because there were too many misinformed people.
Yeah, and I saw it on the comments when Tanner, the Good Morning NoCo crew, posted out the results saying this would effectively kill the project, and I saw the comments saying, no, this won't. Some of you voted on it, voted yes, thinking, well, it just gives us time to think. Hey, let me give you a sports thing. I know I'm a dumb sports guy. Colorado Eagles are under a lease with Blue Arena. They have to play somewhere in 2028. That means they need to start the project now to build the stadium, to build the arena now. They cannot wait because you know what the Avalanche will say? Figure it out. You need to play hockey because we send players down to you. So that's why when you keep saying, I keep seeing all these comments, oh, it's just going to delay the project. It's still going to do it. No, they need to have a place to play when their lease runs out at Blue Arena. That's why the push was to get it started now. So, stuff to think about. 24 minutes after 11 o'clock, I'm fired up. Sean Payton's fired up. Well, he was actually pretty good yesterday. Calvin Booth was on an interview with the Kevin O'Connor show, the KOC show. Don't sound it out. We're going to talk about that, too, in his conversation, because that was some fascinating stuff. Calvin Booth said, having Joker is a blessing and a curse. And I know 100% what he means. We'll talk about it coming up next. It's the whole show. Kevin Lytle going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Let me cool down a little bit. Way to go, guys. This is why we can't have nice things. We'll be right back.
one mission, to provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You seem a little out of sorts today.
I am out of sorts today.
Do you need to get on the whole show couch back there and talk to me? Talk to me about what's going on?
I could.
It's not a casting couch. It's just a...
I wish I had taken some ibuprofen this morning.
Okay. So you're sick.
No, I'm not sick. It's just like, you know,
your back
I expected
hurts.
To get a lot of sleep last night, and then I woke up and my back's like, ha ha ha, the spasms are going to wake you up.
I'm getting to that age where it's when you finally do get a pretty good night's rest, you wake up and you're all locked up. You're like, wait, did I rest? I rested too well last night, apparently, because now my neck is messed up.
I've had back spasms for a couple days because I like bent over to spit in the sink. Oh. And apparently I can't do that anymore.
Stop spitting in the sink, bro. Stop doing that.
Yeah, I just swallow the toothpaste then.
It'll be fine.
I hate being old. You know, a couple years ago, I hurt my neck looking up.
Yeah, that happens too. Just move too quickly. That's why I just try not to get startled.
Getting old sucks.
31 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle. You know what's not getting old? The Colorado State Rams winning basketball games in the month of February. The Rams win again last night. Kevin's going to join us in just a moment. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The Colorado State Rams just keep winning. They have gotten extremely hot in the month of February. Now winning their sixth straight, you know, beating Fresno State last night 74-70. Kevin Lytle joining us now, great friend of the show, of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Kevin, my friend, first off, man, can we, I know this isn't a concern of yours much anymore because you're moving on to the Pac-12 as a reporter, but the Mountain West app is not good, Kevin, not good, man. I had a terrible time of it last night.
Yeah, I heard that there was a bit of a meltdown there in the stream for folks. Yeah, that's unfortunate and frustrating. The good news, talking specifically about basketball, is I believe almost every single Pac-12 men's basketball game will be on, you know, traditional linear television. So that hopefully shouldn't really be an issue.
That makes me very excited because, I'm getting on it last night. Watch the first half. I'm halfway through the second half, and then they go. It's a timeout, so they go to commercial break in progress. And it was like 10 minutes, and it just froze on there. So I kept refreshing. Tried it on my phone. Still commercial break in progress. And I'm
one of those. is it me or?
That's what I was saying. I was like, come on. So I'm trying all these different devices, and then I go to Gamecast it, and I'm seeing the game is actually still going on. Kevin didn't try to stall the game by running out onto the floor doing anything crazy. And then the next thing, it starts working. I'm excited. Oh, but I'm back in the first half, and I can't get out of there. It's like 13-7 or something. So, and that's happened to me a handful of times over the last couple of years. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's a bummer because I think it sounds like the timing kind of was when CSU kind of started to crank things
yes.
up and start playing better too.
Yep.
So yeah, all around certainly felt it for folks that were, you know, trying to watch from home. That's just a bummer.
Yeah. I think the Rams were down by like 10 or something when all the issues were happening. And then of course we know they made a comeback. They win 74-70. So Kevin, how did this one go down? Since I didn't really get to see the finish, I just gamecasted it. I could tell you who scored, but that's about it.
Yeah, super weird that it, in a lot of ways, felt like CSU's game at Fresno State a month or so ago, whatever that was. Fresno State built an early lead and kind of felt in control in that one. Fresno State was up 14 at half. CSU did make a big second-half comeback to tie it, and then immediately went down 10 again. That was kind of what happened here. CSU tied it early in the second half. The next thing you know, it's 61-51 Fresno. So you're thinking, oh, my gosh, is this just like a replay? You know, which maybe you could watch that on the Mountain West app. But CSU found a way. Like, it was kind of ugly. Like, certainly, you know, you use the cliche, they didn't have their A game, you know, fastball, whatever one you want to use. But they found a way, and, you know, Kyle Jorgensen even said after, he goes, we don't win this game a month ago, and I strongly agree with that. They weren't playing well early. They also admitted, which some people maybe will get mad, but I actually appreciate the honesty of, it was a letdown. Like, they had just played San Diego State, the Orange Out, the big upset there. You know, it was a two-day turnaround, and they kind of just had a bit of a, you know, mental letdown, which, again, like I say, people get mad, but that is kind of humanity. It happens. But they found a way to grind it out. They started playing better defensively. And I think most importantly, in the second half, they just started attacking the paint, which they were kind of just lazy doing in the first half. Or not doing, maybe.
Well, and yeah, you talk about it. That Fresno State game, going back to the first one, that was when I was starting to say, okay, this season's probably going to be, you know, first-year coach, it's just going to be kind of a learning thing. And, you know, I don't really know if any of these guys are special guys. And I still don't know that there's, like, special dudes on this roster. But it was that first Fresno State game that had me thinking, we're probably going to see an average, probably a little below an average basketball team. And they went on to do that. You know, they lost to Utah State. They lost to San Diego State. They lost to Wyoming. And then they start getting wins. And I know you and I even had that conversation of the first border war of, okay, if they lose this game, where do we go here? Well, they did, but since that loss, they've been red hot.
Yeah, yeah, that game in Laramie was rough in a lot of different ways. There was a lot they didn't do well and not much they did do well, but they figured it out, and you have to give a lot of people a lot of credit. You know, the players, the coaching staff, you know, Ali last night even said, like, hey, you know, I'm still learning a bit too, and the players are riding with me of, you know, this just is whatever 28th game as a head coach, and he's learning some too. And the players talked a lot about, you know, it's sort of the intangible, but togetherness, connection, player led, you know, huddles and stuff, that they've improved on that. Brandon Rexner said, you know, earlier this season is usually pretty quiet. Not a lot of guys talking. Now they say a lot, you know, a lot of guys are owning some of that leadership. So those are, you know, intangible things that sound great when you're winning. But when you're winning, they seem to have some validity because, you know, I've kind of said all along that I thought this team was decent, even the bad stretch. But you need some proof of it. And now in February, they're kind of proving it.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado one. And they're doing this without Josh Pascarelli, who obviously at the start of the season, we talked about a big, good transfer coming in. I know CSU was really high on him, and he was red hot to start the season, you know, hitting threes left and right. And for the most part, he's been still battling his injury, Kevin. So how have they been able to win these games without one of their top guys, at least heading into the season?
Yeah, last night was the third full game he's missed, and he got hurt kind of early in the fourth. So really, it's been four games that he's missed, and you have guys stepping up. I think, you know, I talked about this with Tanner yesterday and Brian, that it's not Josh Pascarelli issue. He wasn't hindering them, but in some ways there can be a benefit of, you know, the rotation shrinking a little bit of, you know, just very clearly defined roles. But now that they're winning and you have those definitions, I think they'll be able to get him back in and kind of keep it going, you know, without losing some of that steam. So, yeah, I think you just have guys playing well and comfortable in what they're doing and not trying to do too much and trusting their teammates to do their bit as well. And It's kind of worked on both ends. CSU has improved defensively a good bit. You know, they're not the best defensive team in the world, but they've the trend line is going in the right direction. And offensively, they've got back to what they were good at early, which is, yes, you still hit a lot of threes, but you do it from attacking the paint and getting good paint touches and scoring either inside or at the free throw line, and that helping lead to three-pointers.
What else do you kind of attribute the success right now to this team? I mean, just from what I was seeing, you know, it just seems like, again, a guy like Brandon Recksteiner's playing better. The turnovers aren't as, I mean, there for a while, mm-hmm. Even if the numbers are similar, the way they were turning it over, as you pointed out, what Ali likes to say, the pick sixes, you're not seeing maybe as many devastating turnovers for like a, you know, extensive amount of time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that turnover issue can rear its head a bit. We saw it late in the UNLV game when that got shaky. But yeah, I think overall the raw number of turnovers down, I definitely agree that the catastrophic ones are down. So that's a positive. You have guys just playing with a bit more confidence and, like, say, in their right roles, perhaps, you know, right spots, pairing up the right guys that play well together, you know, because it's not just the five on the floor you're thinking about. You're kind of, you know, a macro look within that of like, okay, we have the five on the floor, but, you know, these two play really well together. So we need to make sure their minutes are pretty much shared. And I think the staff has gotten really dialed in on those as well. And then this, you know, not to be a Debbie Downer, but you do have to point out the schedule. The February schedule was favorable, and we said CSU needed to take advantage, and they have. But within that, the, you know, clear hardest game, San Diego State, they handled pretty comfortably. I mean, I never thought San Diego State was going to win that game. So I think it's a combo of a lot of things. They took advantage of the schedule lightening. I think that helped build confidence. They found some better, you know, roles and fits and all that, and it's all kind of, you know, steamrolling now that they're in a pretty darn good place.
Yeah, I mean, well, and the UNLV game, I know UNLV is not like a world beater, Kevin, but going on the road playing UNLV, I just didn't think they'd do it. It's going to be rough. And I, you know, we had Ali on, and I flat out told him, dude, I'm sorry, I did not think you guys would win that game. And he just told me to stop making predictions, Kevin. So I'm going to really try. I'm going to really try not to. But they've turned the corner.
No, that's always a tough game. UNLV is always a hard matchup because they're erratic, but they're always really big, really athletic. It's weird playing down there because there's no atmosphere. No one goes to those games, and it's a huge gym. And then you throw in Pasquarelli was out. JoJo McIver had to miss that trip because he was sick, so they were super shorthanded. They couldn't fly out until the day of the game because of airplane issues. So it was one of those where everything added up for you shouldn't win that game. And they found a way. Those are one of those, again, sort of an intangible, like, yeah, it's a great win. But some of those pieces within it, I think, give, you know, it's almost like a turbo boost of confidence to a team of like, okay, if we did that, like, heck yeah, guys, we've got things figured out right now. So I think that was a really, really big win for CSU. And that last week was huge to go. You know, I would have thought if you go 1-1 in the road UNLV and home San Diego State, you'd be feeling pretty darn good. So to go 2-0, just a really big week for CSU.
Yeah, the San Diego State game, like getting that win and winning by what? 10 points?
Nine. And like I say, it just felt always in control. Yeah. Even talking to Mark Ziegler, who covers San Diego State. He kind of had the same vibe. He's like, yeah, I mean, San Diego State made a couple runs, but it just never felt like CSU was gonna really let them back in it.
No, it's been fun to see it. And now, Kevin, either way you slice this, man, Ali Faroukhmanesh, he's 18-10. Even if they don't win another game, 18 wins in his first year as a head coach, not just the Rams coach, but as a head coach. That is very respectful that he got that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, more than likely they're going to get into the 20s, I think you would say, you know, when you add in potential postseason play. Pretty good. I mean, yes, this program should be shooting for NCAA tournaments. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. And, you know, they'll want to win more games moving forward. But by and large, overall, there's more a Taren thing. He loves asking for the grades and whatever. But this, you know, B at worst for the season, I would say.
Sure.
I think overall you have to like the signs. And the fact that the team is progressing and getting so much better right now, that speaks well to Ollie and his staff. So I think, you know, big picture, if we're talking, there's certainly nothing that has deterred me from thinking that Ollie can have, you know, really good success as CSU's coach.
Well, and now, Kevin, I'll let you go after this one, but you look at the rest of this conference. I mean, aren't we kind of having that feeling of why not the Rams? Maybe it is a little bit becoming more wide open. I know Nevada beat Utah State the other night. It could be a wide open tournament, more so than maybe we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, definitely, because I think the top are good. You know, your Utah State, New Mexico, San Diego State are good, but not untouchable. And I think your middle jumble with Grand Canyon, UNLV, CSU, Boise State, have all shown they can be good at times, maybe aren't always, but they can be dangerous. And then, you know, Fresno State's not amazing, but they're not an easy out. So really, other than Air Force and, you know, probably San Jose, especially with their injury issues, a lot of teams can beat each other. So yeah, I think it's going to be a volatile Mountain West tournament in a really good and fun type of way.
Excellent write-up by you, as always, in the Colorado one, kind of breaking this one down, throwing out some of your takeaways from the game. So, folks, be sure to check that one out at coloradoone.com. Kevin, always appreciate you, my friend. We'll get into more details tomorrow when we get to Rams Weekly at 1.
Absolutely. Excited to be back with some Rams Weekly. A lot to talk about, I think, we're going to have tomorrow.
So much to get into, man. And I look forward to it each and every week. It's a highlight here, so be ready to rock and roll on Thursday.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. 11:50 the time. Yeah, the Rams are, that was just a gritty win. You know, not to steal the Jay Norvell thing, but that was just a gritty win last night. Sometimes you need those. The Bears had one of those against Northern Arizona, those ugly wins where it doesn't look like you're playing that well, except for Brock Wisney, 38 points. But you find a way to get done. Those wins sometimes can be more important, especially at this point in the season, when you're on a streak, when you maybe didn't play your best game, but you got away with one. You can learn while winning. That's the best kind of lesson. 11:50 the time. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day. Sean Payton had a lot to say at the NFL Combine. Also, Calvin Booth made an appearance for over an hour-long interview about his time as general manager of the Denver Nuggets. So we'll get into all of that coming up. Sean Keeler will join us from the Denver Post. It's the whole show. And also, sounds like the Buffs found their defensive coordinator, so we'll get into that in just a moment.
With the Joker back, will the Nuggets make a run? Find out with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton had a lot to say, Michael. We're going to play back some of his comments yesterday. But it sounds like, at least right now, Davis Webb will be calling the plays for the Denver Broncos. And Sean spoke on that. He spoke on George Payton's contract extension. Not that Sean would have anything to do with that, but how he would want that to happen. George Payton spoke on R.J. Harvey. Had an interesting nickname for him. Sean Payton talked about, you know, what they're looking for, taking some big swings, or do they stay the course? He talked about Vance Joseph. He also talked about Bo's ankle again. He claims that he was misquoted, blaming Mike Kliss. But one of the problems with that, Michael, we heard the clip. It wasn't an interview, and on paper, it was an actual clip of Sean Payton talking about the predisposed ankle injury.
It was clearly AI made by Mike Kliss.
I don't know, but what are you take us for fools, Sean? That's fascinating. And is this offensive play calling thing really, is it really going to take hold? We'll talk about it. But we'll get to the top stories of the day first. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.